Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we have the pleasure of breaking down Senegal as they head to the 2018 World Cup in Russia to compete in the very difficult Group H. As always, I am joined tonight by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest tonight, Amadi Tiam, social media manager and editorial assistant at Howler Magazine. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Amadi, I want to start out with you and ask you about your ties to Senegalese football, man.
Well, I'm half Senegalese. My father was born there. I've spent a good amount of time there in my life, actually. I lived there from 2004 to 2007, and while I did, I was playing. Actually, I had a trial with US Wacom, which is a professional club there, which plays in the Senegalese Premier. And I really found that I embraced the soccer culture there, which is more than I really anticipated it being. Coming from America and having played in U.S. soccer setups from, you know, an early age, the level of commitment and also just the quality of players, from people who played professionally to those who just played in the street, was something I found so impressive. And I really took to it during the time that I was living there.
You know, Amadi, and of course, Joe as well, I think many people, you know, want to remember Senegal as, you know, that big country. And I'm going to go into history real quick. And I think when you talk about Senegal in the World Cup, I don't think it needs no introduction whatsoever. But yeah, Let's go back to the year 2002. At the pre-tournament draw, I did a little bit of history of this. Senegal were the 42nd best team at the World Cup, which was actually the second worst out of all the teams that qualified for the World Cup that year. The only team that was worse than them before that draw was China, who was 50th. And they were in a group with Denmark, Uruguay, and France. And France were the defending European and world champions as well. And, you know, we go back to the famous night of the 31st of May of 2002 at Seoul Stadium. And I'm sure, Amadi, I could ask you this question because I saw the tweet that you made of that famous goal. But just give a little bit of a background of that story as well. And of course, you know, that whole tournament that Senegal had that enchanted the world and really put themselves on the map as the Cinderellas of World Cup. And of course, you know, how does it feel for someone to go back to a World Cup after 16 years and especially coming out of a tough qualifying process that is in Africa?
Well, to be honest, that, you know, I'm happy you brought that up because that really was that, you know, May 31st, 2002, that was a defining moment for me in both my fandom, but also my understanding of football in general about African nations and in particular Senegal. I remember I was asleep. I was in high school still. And I woke up to this noise of yelling from downstairs, and it was my father. So, you know, I sprint downstairs worried, you know, freaking out, like, oh my God, what could be going on? And he's in front of the TV on his knees with his hands in the air, you know, raised as if he just won something ridiculous. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, wow, my Poppy, because I, you know, I call him Poppy, which is a normal thing in Senegal. I'm like, Poppy, what's going on? What is it? Are you okay? And he's just pointing at the screen. And then all of a sudden our phone starts ringing and it's only numbers from Senegal. And my father is the oldest of nine. And every single person who lives in Senegal, all of whom do so except for his youngest sister, called the house. We're freaking out, sending everybody, like, you know, speakerphone. And it was this moment. It was kind of a pivotal moment for my own comprehension of the impact that football can have, and especially for a nation like Senegal in on the world stage and competing against what, you know, what most people may not know, but is their former colonial, you know, I guess what you'd call masters. It's kind of hard to find a word that you would use there that isn't kind of rude or derogatory, but it made such a big difference in my own understanding. And I really think that in the time that's elapsed since then, my fandom has expanded to include not just the Senegalese national team, but, you know, Senegalese teams, I mean, players playing outside the country, and also for those teams within it. Because I think that in order to understand and really properly appreciate Senegalese football, you have to start at the very basic level.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Joe, I mean, I'm sure you have a similar story to that famous win between Senegal and France. So why don't you tell the listeners about that?
I don't remember which story you're referring to now. Oh, you know what? No, I do know. I'm sorry. I do know. That was the opening match of the 2002 World Cup, if I remember correctly, now that I think about it. And I was in Las Vegas with my wife, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I set my alarm to watch the match. And so we were staying at the Paris, believe it or not, and, which is kind of ironic, obviously playing France and all of that. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, I get up, I go downstairs, I go to the bar, and the bar is packed. And it is packed at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're serving coffee instead of drinks, but we're all watching opening match of the World Cup. And you just look back, and I mean, it's France, Senegal. This is not the United States playing, you know, it's not Mexico playing, it's France, Senegal, but it's the opening match of the World Cup. And that's what this tournament does. It brings people together, even in the middle of Las Vegas at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, we're all up and watching the match. So it was a great sight to see. And, you know, one thing I comment is every World Cup since 1994, I have been away for something significant in the in a World Cup. For example, in 1994, that was the Italy Brazil final. I was on vacation with my then girlfriend, now wife of 20 years, and then going on and on and on. But this one, we were vacationing in Vegas, so that's my quick little anecdote there. And before I get off on a tangent, I want to get into qualification because I want to talk about Senegal and qualifying. This was actually, believe it or not, the second best defense in all of Africa. And it's hard to best Morocco, who had given up no goals in their group. But in Group D, they finished in first place. They'd only conceded 3 goals during the entire run of qualifying. And they also spread out their goals, Amadi. They had 10 goals scored by 8 players in this one, but they only got 1 goal from Sadio Mane, who is arguably their star. Are you concerned with Mane going forward into this tournament, or do you think this is just, you know, how they play and they kind of spread it out, and that's what we're going to get a dose of when we head to Russia?
I think it's actually one of their strengths that, you know, they aren't going to necessarily have to depend on Liverpool's, you know, I guess what you'd call secondary talisman, because they have another Northern African who's really doing all the work for them at the moment. But I think Sadio Mane, I think he's going to be able to be less of the focal point for Senegal, and I think that's going to be crucial. I think this is just my own opinion, and I think that everybody who's watching him right now can agree, he's really hitting a strong run of form, but it's not just his contributions offensively. He works his socks off. And in this Senegal team, you've got about another 10 other players who are willing to do the exact same. And it's not, as much as he sets the tone and being the, I guess what you'd call maybe the biggest star amongst these players, he's not the only one who has who has the pedigree to compete at the highest level. You know, there's players like Balde, Nyang, and Sar, and, you know, guys like Idrissa Gueye playing for Everton. These are some household names, at least for those people who watch a good amount of European football. So for Mane, I think that he'll be able to really flourish this tournament because he'll have a little bit of the weight off his shoulders.
You know, and obviously I think heading into this group that Senegal's in, and into my next segment, obviously we're talking about the World Cup group that Senegal got drawn in. They got drawn in Group H. And what really a lot of people has viewed this as a tough group and maybe the most even group out of everyone in this World Cup, it's Poland, Colombia, and Japan. And in order, you know, they take on Poland first on the 19th, followed by the game against Japan on the 24th, and then finishing it off against Colombia. You know, I mean, looking at this whole group as a whole real quick, you know, which game would you pinpoint as probably the most important or maybe the hardest for the Senegalese side? Because, you know, many people want to point in Poland with the immense form that Robert Lewandowski has had or the immense of team quality that Colombia has always given as that last match. So, or even Japan as the unexpected team that we've always come accustomed to in these World Cups and in these tournaments. So if you had to pick one game that you feel like is the most important or something that might be the toughest for the Senegalese side, and which is it? I mean, what is your overall idea and opinion of this group that Senegal's in?
I think, honestly, it's pretty favorable for Senegal to get this group. I mean, while Poland and Japan aren't necessarily as daunting as the Colombia match, they do come first. And I think that Senegal are going to have to really prioritize the Poland game, try to get those 3 points immediately. It's most important, I think, to start on the right foot. And with a team, you know, like Colombia waiting in the wings and in what could be a pivotal match, if they don't get the right results against Poland and Japan, they really do need to focus on, you know, what you wouldn't necessarily call the two best teams of that group. I think Colombia is, I think they're the best group, and I think that it wouldn't be much of a contest. But as you said, you know, Poland and Japan, they have players who can hurt you. And Senegal have shown, especially in, you know, in the past 18 months, you know, not necessarily just in the World Cup qualifiers, but also in the African Cup of Nations qualification. They have some, they've had some blips. I mean, they were bested by Guinea 5-0 away from home at the end of last year during the African Cup, African Nations Championship in the second round. And it's something that I think a lot of Senegalese are wary of. There's a certain sense that this team can lack discipline because there's a lot of attacking firepower. And it's something that I think that many Senegalese, having actually spoken to several family members and also my father before doing this, it's something that they've all mentioned. They're worried about the teams that, you know, like Poland, who they may not really rate as highly as Colombia, but who can absolutely cause trouble for them. So I think that the first game is the most important. Getting up on the right foot against Poland really will set the tone.
And I think you're right because, you know, many are picking Poland to win this group. I mean, I think it's a difficult group, and I didn't have the same reaction that you had when this group came out. For me, when I looked at Senegal and coming into this group, I'm like, oh, man, couldn't they've picked up at least a soft spot? Because even Japan technically is very good. Now we all got the news this week that Japan is changing head coaches, which can really cause some serious turmoil, and for me, downgrade their abilities to survive this group. I think that favors all the other teams in this group. But I do agree with you that, you know, Senegal getting out on the right foot against Poland, maybe even stealing a point or even winning the match, would be enormous for them, because I think they can pick up a win in playing against Japan on the 24th, and then when they jump into that Colombia match, maybe have some cash in their pockets that they can, you know, either know that they need a draw or maybe even don't even need to win to move on to the next round. I think that's they can advance their tournament before they even see Colombia on the pitch. So I think it's a big advantage for them playing Colombia last. I want to look at the players to watch now. I know we talked about Sadio Mane. He's actually second in caps on this team with 51. Idrissa Gueye, that you had mentioned at Everton, is actually leading the team at 58 caps. This is a reasonably experienced team, though, overall. I really want to look at that defense a little closer because of, you know, one of my favorite players, Kalidou Koulibaly at Napoli, for me, is a highly underrated center back. Is this team good enough defensively to compete in this group? And then I do want to know if you have a player that maybe we haven't talked about or haven't seen yet, that, or especially even a player that plays locally in Senegal that may make this team and maybe shine, earn his way into Europe in this World Cup.
Well, I like that you brought up Koulibaly. I think that he might be, at least for me, the rock of that defense. I think that he, for Senegal to have a good tournament, he has to be reliable and he has to be able to perform at the highest level. What he's done with Napoli, the way he's evolved as a footballer, has been impressive. And I think that it shows his adaptability, but also his, you know, his strength of character. And I think that there's other players who are really going to need him to be that rock in order for them to perform well. Amongst them, Pape Souare, Papi Gilo Bodji. You know, these players aren't necessarily household names, but they've made their way through Europe. But who I'm looking at most now is the players like Henri Seve, Badou Ndiaye. These guys all play in the league, in the Premier League, or have played for Premier League clubs. But their defensive, you know, stability, I think, rests on the spine of the team. And that would be, you know, through the middle, counting Koulibaly, counting Idrissa Gueye. And I think that it's possible we might see, I mean, Ismaïla Sarr, who is one of my, you know, one of the most exciting players, but also one of the most dependable. He's going to make a big, I think he's going to have a big, big tournament. And, you know, he's only 20 years old and he plays for Stade Rennais in Ligue 1, but he got his start at, you know, playing locally in Senegal. And that's one of the things I think makes him or sets him apart from the rest of the team. But still, there's no denying his quality and also his ability to make the breakthrough here. So he plays as a midfielder. He can play as a forward as well. But he's an exciting player who has featured quite often for the side. And I think that he has a chance of really making his name.
So obviously, now looking into predictions real quick, it's going to be really tough to look at this team as a whole, especially, you know, when the head coach, Aliou Cisse, has to make the cuts of the 23 players for this World Cup. But I don't want to talk about that more in focus. I want to talk about Aliou Cisse. You know, obviously, you know, many people want to remember him for his famous connection with Senegal, being that captain for the national team during the World Cup in 2002. And now has a head coach. You know, how much of an impact has he made to the Senegalese side, you know, to have them qualify for the World Cup for the first time in 16 years? You know, what kind of manager is Aliel Cisse, and really how big of an impact has he made on this team ever since taking charge?
I think you really said it all. His you know, the fact that he captained the side, you know, the one that is, I guess, most Senegalese people think of when they think of the World Cup now, because it's the one time that we've really shown that we can do it. His pedigree essentially has paved the way for the mentality in the dressing room, the confidence that we've shown in the qualifying stage. I really do think that has to do with him. And there's a quote he gave, this is from ESPN, and he said, "Finally, we're back." You know, obviously a lot of comparisons are being drawn with that generation, but that team already created its bit of history, and now it's up to this one to create its own. And I really do believe that he's instilling that in his players, that this is not the same team. And the feeling around it is different because, you know, they've already established themselves on the world stage. They don't necessarily have that, you know, I don't know, the novel underdog, you know, who is this team? These players have been seen, scouted. That essentially is not who we are. And I've even spoken with Senegalese people, one of whom, you know, I really found what he said was poignant. And he's saying, it does not mean, you know, just because we're proud of the fact that what we did in 2002 was unprecedented, it doesn't mean that we expect the same sort of outcome at this World Cup. And a coach like Cisse is, I think, a pragmatist. I think he knows that the identity of this club, I mean, of this team rather, isn't the same as the one that, you know, that shocked the world in 2002. And I think that he's going to have to build and instill that mentality in the side. And I think he has. I think he really has. I think he's been, you know, beyond just being a pragmatist and being a good motivator, I think he's led by example. And the fact that he was a key member of Bruno Metsu's squad, you know, all those years ago, has shown through in his leadership. So I think it's a really exciting time for Senegalese people because they believe that he has what it takes to really take this team to the next level.
Definitely. And, you know, as you talk about the players real quick, I mean, you know, a majority of them, with the exception of one, you know, they all play outside of, well, actually two, you know, they all play outside of Africa and they all play in Europe. Exactly. You know, it could be England, Turkey, Germany, Belgium, and many other, France, obviously. You know, do you feel that that's been fundamental to this team moving forward, you know, having these players not just being based domestically in Senegal, but also have them play among the big top five leagues in Europe or you know, or Turkey or Belgium or any others, any of those leagues, you know, do you find that is the main focal point, the success that this team has been having recently?
Yes, I think that's part of it. I mean, there's the idea that, you know, in 2002, that a lot of those players weren't household names, or not even the fact that they were household names, but they weren't even competing on the biggest stages. They weren't all in Europe. And I think that has a lot to do with what, you know, Senegalese people feel this team is capable of, but I don't think that it has any of these guys with their heads in the clouds. I think that, you know, if you look at the teams that they play for, yes, they're playing in Europe. And if you can look at the players besides Mane, you know, very few are on a team that is competing on the highest stage. But at the same time, each player is integral for their team. And in a way that isn't the star player, but I mean, in sort of a blue collar, hardworking way, these guys do their work, keep their heads down, and go about their business. And I think that that's the identity of the team, that they've been able to manufacture this, you know, do for each other and collective mentality that this squad needs. I think that every World Cup squad needs, frankly, in order to succeed. But in particular, the Senegalese squad needs to have self-belief. And you're right, them playing in Europe will provide a bit of that. But I think the rest of it will come from Cisse and also from winning the games that they won in qualification. Another quote from Cisse, he said, if, you know, this is, I don't want to take too much from ESPN, this is also from them, but he says, "I want my boys to concentrate on their own game, to have fun and to not be overly concerned about who's watching them around the world." So he knows that, you know, this can be a tough stage for young kids. And a lot of these guys are not 28, not 29. They're going to be affected by that, by, you know, the biggest stage of their young career. And it's going to be a big deal that they have someone in Cisse who they can count on to ground them and also who believes in them. And it goes a long way.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that's important for all of these managers, you know, heading into a World Cup. And obviously, you know, not those countries that, you know, are always expected to win, you know, those other countries.
Exactly.
I think that's the mentality that they want to have. And yeah, who knows? I think many people are really excited for the Senegalese side to do well at this World Cup. But just my last question before I pass it over to Joe as well. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people maybe aren't too familiar with the Senegalese side. But obviously, I think depending on the players that they play all around the world, especially in Europe. But, you know, I just want your thoughts of maybe a starting 11 for the Senegalese time heading into the World Cup, and you know, what to expect from them. You know, what are the strong points that the Senegal, that this team has had, and maybe the weak points that that fans or pundits or anyone will look out for in this World Cup?
I don't want to say for sure, but at least I want to be clear about who I think would be the biggest influence on their defense, besides Koulibaly, and there's Djiloboji, who I mentioned as well. But I think that there's going to be a chance for players like Pape Souare and Sekou Kouyaté, who, you know, has played in the Premier League as well, and also guys like Sakho, who have, you know, there's going to be some interchanging there. I don't know that they have developed their starting 11, and I don't want to say, I know it's kind of, you know, a non-answer, but I don't want to say that it's going to be one way or the other, because I think that Cisse, judging on how some of these players finish their seasons, he's going to have some difficult decisions to make. They qualified, you know, beating teams like South Africa, but that was in November of 2017. And at that point in the season, it's a lot different, you know, who, the players who you have at your disposal who are fit and who have not been exhausted, you know, depending on what, how many competitions they've been playing in. But I think it's quite possible that we'll see, you know, in a tentative formation, Mane starting up top in maybe a 4-2-3-1 with Idrissa Gueye, Kouyaté, and Keita across the middle. And then in the back, I think you'd have Koulibaly, Djiloboji, or Mbodj, and Gassama, who, and this is the same lineup, who faced Tunisia in African Cup of Nations last year, and who also went on to face South Africa in South Africa, beating them at home and away. But not mentioned are players like Konate, Moussa Sow, who's been a kind of a journeyman striker, but he's done it on the highest at the highest level. Pape Diop, Ismail Assar, who I mentioned before, the young guy, Khadim Ndiaye. These are all players who I think might be fighting for starting spots. And who will be just as integral to the success of this team.
Now, one player that I want to mention before we run into our last spot is Mbaye Niang, the Torino striker who was at AC Milan and really kind of exploded onto the scene at AC Milan. Do you expect him to be there as well competing?
Yes, I do. And I mentioned him before, but he's been he's at Lazio now, yes?
Torino.
Yes.
Yes,
and I thought when he came onto the scene at AC Milan, I thought he was the next big thing. In fact, my father, who I spoke to about this, he said the same, that Mbaye Niang, and at the time at least, he seemed to be one of the new generation. And I don't think he's really distinguished himself in the way that we expected him to. And I don't think he's convinced Cisse that he's the player to be alongside or starting next to or in front of Sadio Mane, who I think is going to be the chief attacking player. Although he can play on the wing and he can also play behind the striker. So I think I would love to see Niang. I'd love to see Mbaye Niang starting with Mane, but I haven't seen enough really from him, especially in the lead up to the qualification that would convince me of that.
Right. And I mean, he's only 23 years old, so I'm sure we're going to, you know, he'll get his opportunity. If not this year, you'll see him next at the African Cup of Nations. I can't imagine him not being included as he continues to grow, no doubt. So I want to go on to the last part of our show, and this is kind of the predictions time for us. I'd like to ask you, looking ahead, what do you think is a good result for this Senegalese side, especially given this difficult group in this World Cup?
I think, honestly, getting out of this group would be a fantastic result. Maybe many Senegalese would not agree with you. In fact, I spoke with some people, you know, my uncle and others who are living over there, and they say that it is, there's a lot riding on this team. There's a lot of expectation surrounding this team, and it's not necessarily good enough for them that they only make it out of the group. But I think that that would be a success. I honestly do. These players, as you said, a lot of them are young. I think that there's a certain sense that any sort of accomplishment against teams like Poland, Japan, and Colombia would be something satisfactory. However, I think this team can go further than that. I think that they could honestly get to the round of 16, if they get a good opponent, they can probably, you know, maybe do not as well as 2002, but I'm hoping they can get to the round of 16 and then have a good showing. I don't need them to win every match, and I don't think that they are going to. I think it's important to be realistic on this stage, but I think that there's a sense that they can do way more than people are giving them credit for, and it's possible that they'll surprise some teams.
Now we fast forward to July 15th, and the Teranga Lions lift the trophy, the coveted World Cup trophy. How bad does your phone blow up when that happens?
Oh man, I don't even know. I think I'd have to hop a flight, honestly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to have my phone on. I'd have to turn it off. I'd have to turn off every social media and web messaging service I have. It's the friends I still have who live there and the family as well. I mean, we communicate about this quite often, and this would be the ultimate pinnacle, I guess, for not just Senegal, but for West African football. I think that there's a lot of people who aren't Senegalese who are also looking to the country to do something, you know, to really put us on the map again. And I think that knowing that there are other strong Northern African teams in the competition, and you know, with their history and pedigree, I think it'll be nice for Senegal to stand out. But I know that my phone I'd probably have to just turn it off, because it would be crazy.
Well, you know, I think people that aren't watching African football, I think especially during African Cup of Nations and those types of competitions, I think are really missing out, because there's a spirit, and Rob and I have talked about this before. There's a passion there that really mirrors a lot of the South American passion that we see in football, and it's just a pleasure to watch. It's up and down, it's fast paced, and it's really high quality stuff. And we mention it all the time on the show that if you're sleeping on African football, you need to turn your TV on and go watch, because it's something incredible.
I fully agree. I couldn't be said better than that.
Yeah, I no doubt about it. So, Amadi and Rob, I want to thank both of you gentlemen for joining me tonight and helping me break down the Senegal national team on their journey to the 2018 World Cup. Again, this week in football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.